Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Red Sky Radio Network here, specifically the Robin Walter Show, part of that network. Thank you for joining in with us. We've got a lot of things we're going to cover today. I would like to put out, though, a little bit of a questionnaire, or just a question. And I'm looking for listener response. I've done this program coming up in 21 years. It was originally... I've gone through a couple of name changes, but Free California, that was what it was originally, and then Sovereign America, and ended up with Red Sky Radio and the Robin Walter Show. I have contemplated changing the format from an hour to a half an hour. I know that many people today just simply do not have time for an hour program. And so what's been running through my head is that If I did the half an hour, I cut out the things that would maybe be, they're interesting, maybe important, but not as interesting and important as the key elements of the program, so that the program would be a little more, not like that, not that I am unfocused, but that it'd be a little bit more focused towards the most compelling things that I feel moved to share within that period of time. And so I would actually solicit your input on that. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. It's RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. I have been thinking about it. You know, one of the challenges that all broadcasters have when they are tied to a specific time frame is what happens when there's not enough to fill it. Now, that's really not ever been my problem. But you have sat down, you've watched a news program, maybe typically on the weekend, maybe a Friday night, and the stories they cover, when what's your thought? You say, wow, obviously a slow news day if they're covering this. But they're committed to a slot of time. And this is one of the beautiful things about podcasting is your program can be 15 minutes or an hour and 25 minutes, depending upon the topic. You are not limited by the time. But I'm not just podcasting. I'm also on conventional radio, which has to fit into a certain time slot. So all that to say, I do solicit your input. If you think that maybe a half-hour program would allow you to digest the more important issues better, if you like the longer format, just let me know. I don't know that the input will dictate my response and what I will do, but at least be some guidance and something which I can pray about. All right? With that, let's roll. Okay, going to start with some good news, which I always try to do. I try to end with good news. Sometimes I don't always have that. But I want to start with something that the Trump administration just did. That is that there are 5.3 million student loan borrowers, which are going to have their wages garnished this summer, that are in serious default on their student loans. I have never liked the student loan program. I've always hated it. I will tell you right now, why should anyone, well, let's just make this an easy comparison. So a guy graduates from high school and he goes into a technical skills center education. He pays for it. When he comes out a year later, he's a welder. So he goes to work at welding, making whatever nice wages, way more than some sociology major is ever going to get coming out of some piece of garbage institution, which seems to be predominantly what we have these days. Why does that guy, or why should I, but I'm going to focus on peers here. Why should the 19-year-old guy or 20-year-old guy, somewhere in that range, be obligated in his taxes, being fully and gainfully employed, to help pay for one of his peers to get a better education to presumably beat him out in the workforce and get higher pay. Now, college education doesn't guarantee better pay today. Quite the contrary. There are a lot of students who go to a crappy school, enter into a worthless program, and I don't want to offend anybody by listing about 25 totally and utterly worthless programs, and then stupidity on top of stupidity end up with a mountain of student debt for a worthless program from a crappy school, or at least a crappy department within that school. And the guy who's out working doing the welding is supposed to participate in that yin-yang's student debt payment? No way. I can't even tell you how much I love the idea of the student loan program being brought to a halt. Listen, Harvard has a multi-billion dollar endowment. Why on earth we are paying a single cent in taxpayer money to all these poison Ivy League schools and a whole bunch of others is beyond me. They got these huge endowments. They make big returns. They got investment managers. Use it to pay for the kids' tuition. Why should you stick it to the taxpayer? I would cut off every stinking dime to every college or university from the federal government. If the state wants to be stupid and do it, let them do it. I say, oh, gosh, these students could never afford the tuition. Well, let me tell you, do the professors at these places need to be making $150,000 a year with a cushy schedule, with a great benefits package, with a retirement plan that's the envy of the world? There are only about 18,000 programs where the equivalent of education could more efficiently and certainly more effectively from a cost-benefit standpoint be obtained online. There's no question about it. There's nothing special. What you're going to do, what you're doing with a lot of students today going to college, they're buying on debt, you and I pay for it, a social life. A social life. Hey, I mean, that hasn't changed in all the years since I was at the University of Michigan. There were students there that were never serious. They got into easy programs because they wanted the degree at a time when a degree still guaranteed you a certain reward financially in the workplace, even though you didn't learn jack. And I had lousy left-wing professors at the University of Michigan. It's where I became a Christian. I thought, these guys are nuts. I don't know what's right, but these guys are screwed up. And that led me to the Lord, honestly and oddly. The negativity that I just, this is wrong. Why would I trust and believe these yin yangs better than my own sense of, you know, my own intelligence? Well, my intelligence wasn't that great, but when I got saved, the intelligence got eclipsed by the Spirit of God, telling me turn this way, turn that way. These guys were messed up. Has been messed up for a long time. Walking to school in the morning, because I didn't have a car. I had no money. I ran for the House of Representatives as a senior in college and had to hitchhike home to Western Michigan, where I borrowed my dad's pickup truck to go out and give speeches, and they'd take me out to the highway so I could hitchhike all the way back to Ann Arbor. But guess what? I graduated with no student debt because I worked my butt off while I was there during the summers and working in a sorority house. Yeah, maybe I could get a date. That didn't work out so great, but I got free meals. That sign, will work for food, it's only a sign. Will working for working for food has been around for eons. So getting back to the topic, because I wandered, I digressed terribly here. Why should anybody, an adult or anybody, be paying for somebody else's supposed advantage in the workplace? And fortunately, we see all the crapola coming from these so-called institutions of higher learning, which are in reality institutions of lower learning in many cases. I'm not interested in funding the party and pizza brigade that dominates a lot of these schools' participants. They matriculate, yeah, they sign up, they get the loans, and they expect you and they expect me to pay for them. And their 20-year-old peers who are working an honest job. I don't like it. So way to go, Trump. I love this. I got to quote this. The Department of Education under President Donald Trump began sending notices to the first of millions of Americans with past due federal student loans that they will see their wages garnished in just a few months. Wow, pretty serious. The news comes the week that the Trump administration began to send these millions of defaulted borrowers into collections. You see, I'm interjecting here. What this whole thing about pausing student loan payment and not even starting to pick it up. If Harris won, this would just be a freebie, all on the taxpayer. What is this message that's being sent to the students through Biden and Harris if she'd gotten elected? What was the message? You don't have to make good on your promise. You don't have to pay your debts because we can just stick it to some other bozo and they can help pay for it. Stick it to the government. We're not going to pay it. Back to the article. The garnishments will happen in waves, with the first borrowers seeing the pay deductions in early June. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby is my interjection. Monday, the Education Department started sending 30-day notices to 195,000 defaulted borrowers to notify them that they will be subject to the Treasury Offset Program. This is where they start with this 195,000. What does the Treasury Offset Program do? It collects past due debts owed to state and federal agencies. Under this program, Treasury can withhold money, including tax refunds, wages, Social Security payments, and disability payments to pay delinquent debt, of which we have 5.3 million now young deadbeats, thinking that you and I owe them candy, treats, freebies, educational tchotchkes. Well, next thing. This is great news. Trump signs an executive order to bring pharmaceutical manufacturing back to the U.S. Now, I don't look at this from a standpoint of building America businesses. I don't look at this as making America great again. I look at this as self-preservation and protection from the garbage that ends up in vitamins and other medications that come from China. Okay, when I go buy a vitamin, I've gotten very, very particular. I look and see where this thing was produced. Now, because it's produced in Canada or Vermont or someplace, doesn't mean that the ingredients are all local or national. The ingredients could still come from a foreign country. This is a hard thing to get at. But there's a lot of worthless vitamins out there. And there are certainly vitamins that probably are dangerous based upon what somebody's put in them that wants to effect the completion of the 100-year plan. What is the 100-year plan? Look it up on the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, and you will see the Google 100-year plan, and you can get the video that very, very accurately and completely describes the Chinese 100-year plan to destroy the United States. It's obvious, it's clear, what have you. Next thing, more good news. This from our Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court is allowing Trump, at least temporarily, to ban trannies in the military. Clinger, you can grab your dress and hit the road, Jack. Don't let the screen door slap you in the fanny on the way out. Get them out. How could transvestitism and transgenderism enhance military preparedness? Impossible. They're screwed up. These are homosexuals are especially screwed up. Yeah, screwed up. And you want them as an integral part of a fighting unit? Why? Because some guy thinks he's got to get back to the tent early and iron his gown for the night? Gosh. So the Supreme Court allowed Trump's transgender military ban, and it's temporary, but it's good for as long as it's temporary. It reverses the lower court injunction. The case was Schilling versus the United States, which challenged Trump's January 2025 executive order banning trannies from military service. And of course, while the order directed the Pentagon to reverse its medical standards and revoke previous guidance viewed as inconsistent with military readiness. The Supreme Court's decision, however, was not unanimous. So we've got four women on the Supreme Court, and three of them who, of course, could not get a date with a $100 bill tapped to their forehead, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, they dissented. This maternal garbage does not belong being in a Supreme Court decision. It's not dealt, the Supreme Court's not there to deal with compassion. That's for other agencies. That's for other institutions. This is about the law. This is about military preparedness. This is about going in and doing only two things, wrecking stuff and killing people when it's necessary. That's what the military is for. Wreck stuff and kill people when it has to be done. I mean, these women are so decidedly unqualified, and Jackson is a moral incompetano. But anyway, that's where that is. It's not totally over yet on that, but that's a good start because the ban on the ban has been lifted for now. And, you know, I'm already looking ahead 3.5 years. I'm seeing what is around the corner for this country and for us when virtual hell breaks loose if there's a left-wing winner in that election. Everything that they say about Trump will be justified and believe that he said or done. Of course, most of it's lies, but whatever. How their hatred, because they can't take it out on Trump, can only be leveled against you and me. And so I tell people, I said, use this time to maybe get some supplies, be a little bit stocked up, but not that I expect things to happen in the 3.5 years. But what you can do certainly is buy the appropriate firearms where it's still legal, get the appropriate amount of ammo, train yourself, get licensed, use it legally, and be ready. For what? An insurrection? Of course not. That's not biblical. To be ready for what? The left coming after us. And in self-defense, because I still firmly, absolutely, firmly believe this country is going to split. I've said it for a long time. I'm not going to continue to say it just because I've been saying it for a long time. I'm going to continue to say it because I firmly believe that it is inevitable. You can only be ruled by force or by consent. The left doesn't believe in consent. They never have. If they required consent, they get voted out of office in a fair election. But you've got these states like, gosh, the state of Washington. One writer here, Bob Unruh, says they have declared open war on Christianity and the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church is responding here in an interesting way. So this law proposed, which has every reason to be, we could believe to be passed, have decided to require Catholic priests. It's not just Catholic priests. But the Catholic priests are the only ones that are in a confessional. But it could happen in a minister's office, a Protestant minister's office. I don't know, a Pentecostal pickup truck. Whatever is confided by one person to somebody identified as clergy. The lawmakers in Washington decided, quote, to require Catholic priests and other ministers as well to tattle to law enforcement about what they hear in a confessional dealing with certain matters involving children. Could be abuse or neglect, what have you. But they're supposed to turn in this. Jonathan Turley says the state is moving to create an effective system of sacramental snitches, and the Catholic Church is declaring enough. It has announced, Catholic Church, God bless them here, has announced that any priest who complies with the law and breaks the confidentiality that they have with their in their confessional, with their congregant, anybody who complies with the law will be promptly excommunicated. So he goes on to say, the Democrats want to demand that any priest or minister who learns of any reasonable basis to believe that a child has suffered abuse or neglect, they have to call the police. So what this does, I mean, so a church law absolutely forbids this tattling, but the state of Washington now demands it. Now, we are coming to just one of these many points which we will come to, which I've described in past programs. How do you know when you have to break the law? Well, how do you know when you need to disobey? Those two requirements, remember them? Here's your test. The law is requiring you, mandating you to do something God forbids, or the law is forbidding you to do that something that God mandates. So under the Washington state here, the says the state, according to Turley, would be using the church as an agent to compel confessions on the threat of damnation and then turn over the evidence to the police. Worse yet, if the priest does not oblige, then they become the criminal. This is, you know, I have to say in an odd sort of way that things getting worse in some sense makes things better. I say, what are you smoking there, Rob? I'm not smoking anything. I don't do that. What I'm saying is, as things get worse, it forces the borderline Christians, maybe the namby-pamby Christians, to speak up or shut up, get on board or get off the train. It highlights the differences between darkness and light, evil and righteousness, goodness and sin. It highlights it. It brings it to the front. See, when this country was largely governed, if you will, certainly guided by biblical principles, these kinds of things never came up. It's only because the left goes further left, because you have to, the left is in the direction of hell. That's their goal. They're possessed by it, consumed by it. That's the direction they're going. As they get worse, they're easier to identify what's right and wrong, right? As darkness gets darker, light becomes brighter. And that distinction is something for you and me to not just grab a hold of and embrace, but to be a part of the light. The scripture makes it clear that if the eye of our body is dark, how great is that darkness? But if it's light, how great is that light? We've been called to walk in the light, to talk in the light, to function in the light. And when the evil becomes so pernicious, so obviously evil, evil in all caps, it makes the decisions maybe harder for some because they don't want to pay the price, but it makes it a whole lot easier to make the, to know what the right decision is. No fence sitting. I don't want to sit on a picket fence. You know where the picket goes, right? No fence sitting. That's what happens. Those who absolutely are determined to maintain a middle of the road position, because they don't want to offend anybody. Those who are determined to stay in the middle of the road are going to eventually get run over by a large Kenworth. So Joe Biden emboldened the FBI and the DOJ to spy on a lot of Americans. This also from Bob Unruh. I appreciate Bob had a couple of things I read this week that are particularly applicable to where we were. He said that a recently declassified document Thank you, Tulsi Gabbard. This all comes down to, who do you have in authority? She's doing a good job. I'm not where she is on some of the social issues, but for this particular area, she's doing the job Trump has called her to do it, and she's doing it with a vengeance and with a vigor and with an enthusiasm. And why? Because she believes in the task to which she has been called. But she said a now declassified document identifies that Biden's goal was to, now I'm going to quote this, see if you understand this, to enhance public understanding of the role of federal law enforcement in responding to incidents of concerning non-criminal behavior, as well as the role of mental health professionals and resources in crisis response, including through public messaging and engagement. What? Of course, the DOJ and the FBI now were the ones who were the lead on this project to look out for, what does Biden say? Incidents of concerning non-criminal behavior. If it's not criminal, why is it concerning? Because they don't like you, and they don't like me. These are left-wing loonies. The report explained that the goal was quite clearly stated to be fighting, quote, fighting domestic terrorism. So this is why they were watching anybody in the anyone that had spent time in the military, anyone with a firearm, somebody with that, quote, xenophobic information, which means simply people that really want to protect our borders from illegal aliens, you're somehow xenophobic. So Biden had his eyes, as it says here, on vast numbers of Americans when Gabbard released the Biden Strategic Implementation Plan for Countering Domestic Terrorism. This is bone-chilling. From 2021, it outlined the agenda that the FBI would use later to monitor and probe conservative Catholics, parents who objected to a leftist ideology in their local schools, or to justify censorship and debanking of a long list of conservatives in their organizations, all under the guise of being potential enemies. It goes on to say here that the report explained that FBI agents had been required before to have met, this was before Biden changed the rules, to have met the predicate goals, then what was necessary, for opening a criminal or national security investigation. Those factors were, before Biden changed the rules, quote, an articulable factual basis that reasonably indicates a crime or national security threat has or is about to occur. And what did Biden do? He changed the standard from an articulable factual basis that reasonably indicates a crime or national security threat is or about to occur to a level of concern. And not a concern of a criminal behavior, concerning non-criminal behavior. And hence the spying. The claims of doing this or that under misinformation and disinformation. They just didn't have to like you. All they had to be is on the left, and you displayed a concerning non-criminal behavior. What does this sound like? This is communism. This is the Gestapo. This is the whatever the police force is in China, where you just spy on people not doing anything wrong, but because they might do something wrong, or they belong to some group, or say some things that you don't like, and all you have to do is speech that they don't like, and you're participating in a, quote, concerning non-criminal behavior. Oh, my gosh. You know, the more Trump is in office, the more these things that are exposed, the more I realize just how close we were to the end of the country before he took office. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Crossing the highway late last night, he should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Hey, you know, I love that song. I can't think of the guy who sang it like a gazillion years ago. And a friend of mine and I with a banjo and guitar performed that at the Lake Odessa County, Lake Odessa Fair in Michigan. And I love the song, but we were never invited back. So, you know, needless to say, that was when I decided I wasn't going to turn pro. Anyway, so the point here is that how close were we to virtual destruction of this country? Everything that's uncovered, it's sort of like a criminal investigation that's looking for, let's say, falsified tax returns or something like that. And they get in there and what do they find? They may find the tax returns or some element of fraud. Let's say fraud for a loan, because the tax returns, the IRS would have it. Fraudulent loan documents or something. But while they're looking in the search thing, they find a stash of heroin, a stash of cocaine, an illegal firearm to somebody who has no, is actually not legally entitled to be able to retain it. They uncover all of these things. And the limitation on what's uncovered seems to be only a limitation on the search itself. This is what I'm seeing happening at the national level. Whether it's Hegseth or whether it's Tulsi Gabbard or whether it's Kristi Noem, it doesn't matter. Whatever they do, they turn over another page and we see another deceptive, fraudulent, corrupt, diabolical left-wing activity by our government and all their lemmings and lackeys that staff the agencies, which I am thrilled with the prospect of having a huge housing glut in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. Because they've been fired, they left, go back someplace and get a real job. I'm thrilled with that idea. Because we will continue to have these. The left isn't going away, folks. In fact, some of the things I've covered here in the last couple weeks are worse than anything we have seen before Trump came into office. It's sort of like that passage in Scripture. It says that the devil, you know, goes about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he can devour, but that he knows that he's furious because he knows that his time is short. It sort of seems like that. You know, what the left is doing, this purposeful profanity and taking God's name in vain and all the push towards evil has sped up by the left and this clearly the left-wing states, with some exception from Gavin Newsom, who actually just licks his finger, holds it to the wind and see which way it's blowing, and that's what he's going to talk about because he lusts and covets for political office. Just said some of the crapola he's advocated isn't going over so well, so he's modifying it. Has he had a moment of revelation, a moment of truth, or a moment of repentance? No. He's just a shrewd huckster who's finding a new way to appeal to people to get into office. But that's an aside. But this kind of thing got covered in Washington, but now consider Colorado. So we got a judge there that has said that she judges stepped in and said to this school board in the Elizabeth School District, which is southeast of Denver, the Elizabethtown, Elizabeth School. I've been to Elizabeth, Colorado. Nice little community. But that it's a conservative area, largely rural. Well, it is rural. Not even much of a downtown, so it's got to be mostly rural. And they had voted to eliminate these books that are horrible books. I mean, queer, sodomistic stuff, degrading, you name it. And the school district's attorney said that because the judge said, you don't have a right. You don't have a right to remove these books. And why don't you have a right? Because they are the product of a conservative school board. Okay. Are we coming to yet another point all in the same program when you got to decide? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to obey? Is this time to disobey the law? Do you do what God commands you to do, even though this loser judge says you can't do it? The school district attorney said that they asked the judge to hold a hearing so that she could at least look at the books herself. The judge refused. The board included segments from the books in its filings, aiming to demonstrate the vulgar and inappropriate material. The judge routinely and simply dismissed it. And why? Because the judge is a lesbo queer. Sorry for the redundancy. Yeah, she's queer as a $3 bill. And anything like this only convicts her of her sin. So she hides behind the robe, breathes these dark threatenings, deep dark threatenings, and a lousy impersonation of Darth Vader to intimidate a school board and rule her highness here that the school board can't do what the school board was elected to do. And that is to determine the appropriate materials for the students in the school. But this is the left. They don't know the law. They don't know the Constitution. The Constitution is an unfortunate and inconvenient speed bump on their way to left-wing dominion. Well, they'll use the Constitution if somehow they can work it into coming down with a ruling that they like. Yeah, that's a different story. Then they might use it then. But they have contempt for the rule of law. They have contempt for righteousness. They have contempt for the Word of God. They have contempt for Christianity. It's not just an aversion. It's an outward manifestation of hostility like we have not seen in this country ever. That is growing, interestingly, under Trump. Not because of Trump advocating for that, of course. It's growing because they're desperate, and this is how they think that they have got to carve out space for them to come back, beat Trump, and then crush every Republican or conservative or Christian person in every way, shape, or form that they can when they get back to power. I will tell you, I am planning. I think Arizona is going to stay a good state. But it's on the cusp. And if there's a state that I think could get up and leave the union because of secession, because of what the left would do, I'm making plans for that. More later on how that looks. How do you prepare for what could be the end of this country? I mean, Trump is doing everything he can. But understand that if he's not going to run for a third term, and he shouldn't, and I don't believe, really, he can. I don't buy his take on that amendment prohibiting a third term. But nonetheless, I don't support that idea. There needs to be a younger person whose last name is not Trump, but shares those ideals and ideas and principles. But it'll be a bloodbath, the likes of which... You think this last one was bad? This could be it. And if the left should win, as my grandma used to say, Katie, bar the door. I don't know who Katie was, but I know how they used to lock doors to cabins. They had two great big giant metal U-shaped hooks on each side of the door, and then they would put about a 2x10 across that bar, and there was just no way anybody's coming through that sucker. So I can see what's happening. Anyway, On to California. We have a California woman. There's going to be others here who have now been identified as helping hundreds of illegal aliens get green cards with false medical records that are tapping into our benefits. So not only have we been paying for deadbeats with college degrees as far as their student loans being forgiven or paying the interest on the loans as the taxpayers, we've got the left-wing deadbeats here in California, and I'm sure there's other states. This just happened to come up in California, where they are helping illegals in all sorts of ways to skirt, subvert, and pervert the laws of this nation because they are lawless. And I want to bring up a point, a biblical point here. The Democratic Party is a lawless party. They will use the law where it suits their convenience, but then they'll expand it and misapply whatever legitimate basis they have because they are a lawless people. And I've said that if you've heard the last program, a couple programs, it's true. Satan is a Democrat from a couple of weeks ago, and then one last week. I can't remember the title right now. But what is the Antichrist, who's obviously completely controlled and ruled by Satan himself? What is he called in Scripture? What is he called? He's called the Lawless One. The Lawless One. And the lawless, the absence of laws, the absence of God's Word, which this country was founded upon and found in many of our statutes. But he's the Lawless One. So if you have a political party or individuals that are acting in an entirely lawless manner, like this queer judge in Colorado, a lesbo there, or anybody else I've referenced in the last 5 years acting similarly, who's motivating them? Who but the Lawless One, in this case being Satan himself, would motivate people to be utterly and totally lawless from all of these moral situations that have very profound physical and mental effects on the people that are involved, most namely the children. Okay, so there's Washington, there's Colorado, and I'm going to go to California, and I'm going to finish up with something here as a little bit of a reminder. California refused, the legislature refused to pass a bill that would make it a felony to purchase an underage minor for sex. Purchase. I mean, what's the answer here? This is a no-brainer. Why would it not be a felony for somebody to purchase sex with a 16-year-old girl? In essence, forcibly or seductively bring the unsuspecting girl into an act of prostitution. Why? Why would that be a problem making that felony? Well, this one article says the problem is that the Democrats in the state of California, quote, feel differently about the subject, end quote. So the state assembly there passed this bill, AB 379. Consider the bill, which they believe to pass, that will amend the state law to make it a felony to solicit paid sex from any person under 18 years of age. In other words, if you seek out a minor to pay for sex, you're engaging in child sex trafficking and guilty of a felony. And the Democrats defeated it. That was the proposal. They would not pass a bill that would make it a felony to engage in, for an adult to engage in sex with a minor, forced or paid. Obviously, if it's forced, it's rape and maybe statutory rape. If it's paid for, it's certainly prostitution, but maybe forced prostitution. Where is the concern? Where's the opposition? What's the problem with this? It comes from one thing that's ruling more and more places, and it rules California. Queers. It was the LGBT plus, TURs, LGBTQRSUVWXYZQQII plus AAS plus. About every 2 weeks, they add one more thing to this acronym of evil behavior, ungodly behavior, despicable behavior. And you can't even fit it on one line anymore. You almost need a hyphen at the end of this acronym. Continue it on in the next line. The ACLU, the Anti-Christian Lynching Union of Southern California, has claimed in part that these measures have been disproportionately used against the LGBTQ++++ individuals. They said other opponents of the bill claim that the measure could be used by parents who are upset with their children who are in queer relationships. Of course, the opposition was all handled by Scott Wiener, the appropriate name for that loser left-wing queer who drives this, but he killed the bill. One report said, quote, "At best, Democrats and other opponents of this bill are attempting to defend underage prostitution as a normal feature of young relationships, which it is not. At worst," and this is my point, "they are revealing that LGBT individuals are apparently regular participants in the sex trafficking of minors." That is absolutely true. The statistics are clear, overwhelming. That is a percentage of the population, queers commit a way, way disproportionate number of pedophilic crimes against minors. Why? Because we don't have any queer genes. You have to create them. You have to turn kids into being queer. You have to have them question their sexuality. Or, as is the case very frequently, they get imposed upon by sodomistic male adults who then turn them to that lifestyle. Like I mentioned once, a pastor that I talked to, "Have you ever counseled homosexuals?" And he said, "Oh gosh, yes. Have you ever counseled a homosexual who wasn't forced as a minor into a sodomistic relationship?" He said, "Never. Every single one was." 100%. Anecdotal, I understand. 100% of the time. So what they're saying is, this bill will be unreasonably and disproportionately applied to queers. Well, duh, why? It's because the queers are disproportionately committing these sex crimes. Why can't you just let the shoe fit? If they're guilty, it's sort of like this mass incarceration. Well, you're mass incarceration of blacks. Well, it's not mass incarceration. The people who use that are frankly pretty stupid or certainly disingenuous. Because you don't go out and arrest 100,000. That would be a mass incarceration. But I will tell you, it's hard fact. It is a fact that blacks disproportionately commit more crimes than Hispanics and whites. Now you can say, well, that's a feature of their upbringing, a lack of education. It may be. That's not my point. But the fact is, they're saying this is disproportionately used against this race. Well, if that race is disproportionately committing the crimes, that's a no-brainer. Well, in this case, it's queers that are disproportionately committing crimes against minor children. So they don't want to shine the flashlight under their nasty, ugly, detestable, debauched refrigerator, right? What are we going to find under there? This report concludes here, the Democratic Party, has sent an unmistakable message to sexual predators around the country, which would be disproportionately homosexual predators. If you come to California to buy a minor, we are going to go easy on you because there's no felony to buy sex from this minor. Wow. This is just incredible. Hard to believe, but it's where we are. Hey, what I wanted to end this program with, I think I'm going to change my mind here. I was going to run through an updated list of all of the organizations, companies, in this case, corporations, that are decidedly pro-abortion. I think I'm going to save it for another program where I can expand on that topic. But I'd like to finish here with an encouragement. This stuff is unsettling. I don't know why it's my job to bring this kind of news to people, for them to understand better what is going on. Because you're probably a better person than I am, and you have better things to do, and the last thing you want to do is sit down and read this garbage that is going on. But I'll tell you what it does for me. When I read it, and then I proclaim what is going on to you, it only further commits me to the defense of our children. It further commits me to making sure that my grandchildren, of which they keep growing number, never see a government school where they'll get screwed up, misaligned, misled, go down the wrong path. No. I'm licensed in 3 states now doing estate planning and contract negotiation and business workouts and contracts, buying and selling of businesses and so forth. All those things that don't demand that I am in court anymore, so that I can engage people all over within the 3 states that I'm licensed, Arizona, California, and Michigan. And why? Well, first of all, I like my work. Number two, it says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. I don't have God calling me out of it. But number three is maybe not necessarily quite number three. As long as I earn a meritorious, honorable income, I have more to be able to spend on those grandchildren and to support organizations that are there to free children from the grasp of an ugly world. Kids that are neglected, kids that have been abused, whether it's the Galilean home in Liberty, Kentucky, whether it's the Robin's Nest, a orphanage in Jamaica, where the kids have been abandoned. I love kids. The fact that my grandchild numbers continue to grow, may hit 10 here next year, I love that. But I am committed to participating in what the Word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And that is to make sure that the Word of God is before these kids, these children, when they sit down, when they get up, when they go out, when they come in, that the Word would be forever before their eyes. My mother used to disagree with me with the idea of homeschooling and sending kids to a Christian school. And she said one time to me, and God rest her soul, she wasn't a Christian most of her life, she was at the tail end. She got saved very late in life, at the age of 81, I think. Pretty amazing. She said, your kids need balance. They can't just hear that, they need some balance. And I said, Mother, she wouldn't let us call her Mom. Mother, what kind of balance are you seeking? Do you want to balance chastity with promiscuity? Do you want to balance just say no to drugs with drug experimentation? Do you want to balance the Bible with teachings on evolution and all these other things which are anti-biblical, especially at the formidable ages of these kids in schools? Is that what you want? Do you want to balance basically evil with righteousness? And she looked at me, and she turned away, and she never said another thing about it. I don't know what she was thinking. Hey, this kid's hopeless. She said, I may have trained this kid up right, and I didn't even know it. Well, That's my calling. You've got one. I don't know what it is. Ask God to give you maybe a passion you once had. And if you've never had one, ask God to give you a passion that will fulfill your destiny in this world, in this life. Because if you're passionate about something, you'll become good at it. And if you're good at it, you'll become effective and you will accomplish much. You will accomplish that which God has called you into this world to accomplish. For this very reason, you might say someday, gosh, I know what I am here for, what I'm called to do, and how thrilling it is to be part of His plan. How thrilling it is to sit tall in the saddle. How thrilling it is to ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We will see you next week.